Welcome back in. Hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning. Welcoming your phone calls and your text messages on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Joe Rex Road, the Tennessee Vols in action coming up on Saturday against the best team in the country, the Georgia Bulldogs, who have looked, pretty much unstoppable so far this year. Their defense has been incredible. One of the great defenses we've seen in a long time. The line still remains 20.5. So Georgia favored by 20.5 in this game. I would say that a Tennessee win in this game is an extreme, extreme long shot. I'm not going to say an impossibility, but it is an extreme long shot that Tennessee wins this game. So outside of that, what is considered a success in this matchup for Tennessee against Georgia as they take on a defense that has been absolutely stifling so far this year?
I'd say hit the 20-point mark and lose by less than 20. So how about that? How about the 20-20 rule?
I like that. I just muted myself,
too.
Muted
yourself. You liked it so much that you had a mute issue.
That's right. Got a nice gift coming your way on that regard, too. I'll leave it at that for now.
What the heck does that mean?
You'll just have to find out.
You're going to start just muting me as I talk? Okay.
Now I'm curious.
Yeah. So it's not some plot between you two. I guess
not.
That's good to know. I think the 20-20 rule. Get to 20, lose by less than 20. I'm sure that there are some Vols fans that are like, why would this be exciting? But like, if you haven't watched Georgia this year, I've seen them in person once, and granted, it was against Vanderbilt, and Vanderbilt, first year of this program, they're going to probably be winless in the SEC, but it was 62-0, and it could have been worse. You go through the list of, the most they've given up, they gave up 13 to South Carolina, they gave up 13 to Kentucky, and honestly, a lot of that game, I was pretty impressed with how Kentucky hung in there. They actually stayed competitive for quite a while. Look at Michelle getting all excited about it.
Yeah, Robbie, wonder if your Vols can stay competitive. Vols.
The Vols who just beat the Wildcats?
I thought you moved on to basketball season the other day.
No.
See, the answer there is just like scoreboard,
Yeah.
Yeah. But
34 or 37.
And Georgia's going to beat you by a million points, okay?
Okay. Oh, okay. I like it. I think hoop season could be fun in here with Tennessee and Kentucky. But it's just anybody else. They shut out the Arkansas game. Arkansas was the toast of, the college football that week. It's like 37-0.
It was a number 2 Georgia versus a number 8 Arkansas. We're like, ooh, top 10 matchup. This could get spicy.
Yeah, and Auburn is pretty good this year. They're not bad. And I watched a lot of that game, and it's just, they're just toying with it. They hung in for a while. You can hang in, I think, if your defense plays well, and some of these teams, and honestly, even Florida did this for a fair amount. The Florida game, 34-7, a little bit deceiving, but you can hang in with them because their offense still is. And that's where I look at this Saturday, and I'm not saying I think it's going to be close to like an upset for Tennessee, but Georgia's offense is very good. It's not dominant.
Right.
Their defense is, we got to start talking about all-time great defenses, and especially in this era of football. You don't have the numbers they have, but they are just loaded at every spot.
They are. Their offense to me is interesting because I keep waiting for Stetson Bennett to look a little bit more like Stetson Bennett. But he looks pretty good so far this year, to the point where I don't know that JT Daniels is going to be playing a whole lot for Georgia as they move into the meaningful games that they're going to have coming up. Stetson Bennett's been pretty impressive. But I don't think you look at that Georgia offense and you just say, oh, they're terrifying. I would take Alabama's offense over Georgia's offense.
Oh, yes.
Problem is, Georgia's defense is just absolutely elite. The challenge for Josh Heupel is, can you use the tempo to your advantage and use it as a weapon and maybe, change it a little bit. Trevor Maddox was talking about this the other day on with Stillman and Company one of the things that, you know, you just think that they're going fast every single play, and they are going fast, but sometimes they move to warp speed and they change up the pace a little bit as they're going through their tempo offense. And, you know, he highlighted a play that I think he used on SportsCenter of they went warp speed after a play, and an Alabama defender standing on looking at the sideline trying to get what the call is. Tennessee snaps the ball, and Cedric Tillman's wide open for a touchdown. Like, you're going to have to use your tempo to your advantage in this game, I think, to move the ball and score.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, look, I've been around. I mean, I've covered plenty of games against teams that quote-unquote run tempo. Now, covering Baylor in the Cotton Bowl a few years ago, that was the first time that I had trouble keeping up in the press box. Like, you know, I try to type up or write down each play. I used to try to do that. I do still in some games. And Tennessee this year, every time that I've been at one of their games has been like, oh, my God, slow down, guys. Like, it really is different than just your average tempo. And when it's your identity, that's what even going back to, like, the spread offenses, you know, from 20 years ago or 15 years ago, some coaches would say, you know, everybody tries to do this stuff. I mean, everybody has elements of it. Everybody copycats everyone, right? There's a lot of teams out there who have fastball plays where they're like, okay, if this happens, we're going to fastball it. And sometimes it works. But if it's your identity and it's what you do daily and you believe in it, and also you're like, you've been on the ground floor of it like Heupel has been, it's just different. And I like, Georgia has not seen that. I don't know how effective it will be. I'm sure they'll be prepared for it. And again, they're so good up front. They're so good and fast at linebacker. They can cover. They feel like they can cover anybody man to man. Like, it's a huge challenge. But I think they might be as pressed in some ways in this game as any offense will do against them.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Got a texture that says, a success against Georgia would be to score 21 plus. It'll be the most points the defense has given up this season. I'm interested to see, obviously, what the offense looks like, but also, like, what does the crowd look like? Is this game going to be sold out? Is this going to be, you know, a Tennessee fan base that responds to what they've seen on the field so far this year? Georgia travels well. I think we know that. I would expect some Georgia fans at this game, but going to be an interesting environment coming up on Saturday.
Well, for the record, 14 points would be the high. So if the Vols score two touchdowns, they will be – they'll have the they'll wear the crown,
which is just insane.
Yeah, absolutely ridiculous. But I agree. Like, if you get to 20, I think that's impressive. I mean, I don't know that any. The only other team that I think could do that would be Alabama, and more than likely than not we're going to see that matchup in Atlanta. The crowd is an interesting question. I guess I've sort of.
It is an SEC on CBS game.
I mean, I guess I've sort of figured like that. That it would be packed. Yeah, there's going to be Georgia fans, but it's not going to be like in 2017, you know, when Butch was basically, you know, on his way out and it was ugly. And that stadium, I was in that stadium that day, and boy, Georgia traveled.
Yeah.
And they'll travel. They'll have a stronger presence in a lot of fan bases, but I feel like it'll be really good. I mean, based on how Vols fans have responded, like the Ole Miss atmosphere, and I know that was Lane and prime time and everything, and maybe this is one of those games where it's like you don't feel like your team has a real chance to win, but I think it'll be good.
This will be the first game in Neyland since the rain of beers and water bottles that came down.
The rain of
dodged.
Aquafina terror.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. It's been a while.
Yeah.
So basically, a four-week stretch. Of not being at home, which is kind of too bad given how good the atmospheres were getting until, you know, what happened at the end there. But still, great atmosphere that night.
I got a texture that says Notre Dame put up 19 against Georgia. They did not play Georgia this year.
Yeah, what year are we talking, folks? What year are we talking? Hey, you know what? That happens to me all the time. I can't judge you too much on that.
They did play Georgia, I think, last year.
Well, they had a home-and-home
recently
with them.
They did not play Georgia this year, I promise. No.
So I'm looking at StubHub, which kind of gives you a little feel. I mean, the super uppers are going for 90. Now, I do remember, like, around this time, going in the Ole Miss game, It was like in there was like
it's triple digits.
High, it was triple digits, and it was high ones to low twos for that. So it's not quite the frenzy that game provided. But still, if you have the super high seats up there that are going for more than face, that tells you that you're going to have a pretty full stadium.
We're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube today and every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We'll come back. We'll continue the conversation on the Vols. Take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. Tune in to the NFL Game of the Week on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. The Game of the Week this Sunday on 102.5 The Game, the Minnesota Vikings at the Los Angeles Chargers with a 3.05 p.m. kickoff. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Scheduled to be joined by Preds head coach John Hines coming up here in about 13 minutes or so. So looking forward to that. A big win for the Predators last night. They'll be back in action tonight, taking on the St. Louis Blues. A pretty good road trip so far for the Predators. 7 out of 10 points on the road trip. So great start to this road trip for the Predators. They will finish it off tonight before they come back home on Saturday and then go back on the road to Canada next week. So quite the stretch here for the Predators.
9 of 10 away. Yeah. That is a lot. So if they, let's say they get nothing, 7 out of 12, successful?
I would say so.
Still successful.
Yeah.
House money? A little bit tonight,
house money,
I guess.
Tonight. Yeah.
I mean, you got the back-to-back, so it will not be Soros.
Probably David Riddick. Looks like we could see some David Riddick action tonight.
See how that goes.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens on that front. Have that conversation with John Hines coming up here in just a few minutes. Right now, talking Vols, taking your thoughts on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Scott on the text line pointing out Georgia didn't play Notre Dame last year either, because all SEC schedule. So 2 years ago.
Yeah, all right. So, again, I've done that too. Yeah. I've done that too.
Oh, I do it all the time.
There's things that happened in 2014 that I'm certain happened in 2019. So I'm not going to judge.
With that in mind, Tennessee and Georgia did play last year, and it's amazing to think about. Tennessee was winning that game at halftime. And then the second half of the season is where everything went downhill. Now, I have seen some Tennessee fans say that this week of, hey, they're beating them last year at halftime. This defense is a little bit different this year. Now, I understand Tennessee offense, very different this year too, but this is a monster of a Georgia defense.
Yeah, it is amazing. You got to remember too, like, what it Georgia have like the snap over the head in the beginning of the game, and they kind of fumbled around. But still, that was the height of the Jeremy Pruitt era as coach of the Vols.
It was.
It was halftime of that game. That was the height of the era. Like, he had gotten his extension. He totally deserved it. Phillip, what, you should have given him more money. He is going to lead us to the promised land.
They're about to take a bite out of Georgia's behind.
That's right. You're throwing up fades to Josh Palmer, and then, man, the turnovers and just the sacks and the boy, and pretty much that's how it looked the rest of the way.
Yeah,
right, man. Like, they broke them. Georgia broke them.
Break Jeremy Pruitt last year.
He broke Jim Chain, broke everybody, I guess.
Well, hopefully that doesn't happen to Josh Heupel.
Well, that's the thing. Is
the big thing, like, also, in all seriousness, like, getting out of this game, try to get out of this game relatively healthy as you head into the final stretch. If you're Tennessee, that'd be great, too.
That's true. Although, I mean, you want to say healthy because you just want, you don't want kids to get hurt, right?
Well, there is that.
But, I mean, they're going to win their last two games quite easily, I would say.
Call shot?
Well, I mean, sure. I don't know what that means exactly, but I know that Vanderbilt is a rivalry game, but I don't see it this year. I don't see it as being, and actually it hasn't been a competitive game for all of Pruitt's foibles. He kind of flipped that around and was beating Vanderbilt pretty handily.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a text that says, only two of the teams Georgia's played all year are still ranked, Kentucky and Auburn.
Yeah.
Think they could be a little bit overrated?
Sure. I mean, I will say that the Clemson win, when it happened, you were like, whoa, because Uiagalelei looked good in his limited duty the year before. I mean, you go through the schedule. It's fair. Like Florida was playing better earlier in the year, like when they almost beat Alabama. I mean, what is the most impressive win? Now that we kind of know, I still think the Clemson game was impressive because it's beginning of the year. You have everybody, and you have that confidence. You haven't lost your confidence like Clemson clearly has. They lost their way.
Yeah.
In that game, that was a battle of a whole bunch of talented football players, right, on the field. But now that you look at Clemson, okay, that's not great. So what is their most impressive win? I mean, I still think actually going to Auburn, which is a pretty good team. That's a top 20 team, and just dominating them, I think that's probably their most impressive win. Kentucky has kind of come back to earth. So yeah, it's fair to say like they haven't exactly gone through murderer's row here. I think it's definitely fair to say Tennessee's offense will push that defense, will test that defense like no offense has been able to so far this year. I'm not saying they're going to light up the scoreboard, but they're going to do things that this Georgia team hasn't yet demonstrated that they can stifle, like they've stifled everything else.
Well, this is a big test for Tennessee's receivers, because Tennessee's receivers so far this year, pretty much regardless of who they've played, have been able to get open. I mean, Tennessee's receivers, for the most part, I mean, they got open against Alabama. This is a much different challenge. So if you're, you look at this matchup, you can't win this game. You can't hang around in this game if these receivers who have made big plays all year, if they don't do that in this game, I mean, you just don't have any chance. Like, I don't, as good as I think, you know, Jabari Small and Tyon Evans are, and we'll see what their health looks like coming into this game. Like, I just don't really envision much of a scenario in the running back part of this that you're running the ball very well against this Georgia team. Now, Hendon Hooker getting the quarterback involved, maybe so. And that may be the way you've got to do it. But I don't expect a big day from Tyon Evans and Jabari Small if they're able to go.
No, but that's where tempo also can help you sometimes. You know, you catch a team and you pop one here or there. But yeah, for the most part, it's going to look different than in some of these games where they've just been running wild. And yeah, the receivers, again, I watch these Tennessee games and it feels like in a lot of these big plays, it's a great job of scheming things up, but it's also got to be defensive mistakes. Who of this receiving core, you know, can go out there and defeat press man from future NFL cornerbacks, because that's what Georgia's going to do. But you know, there's also a lot of things you can do to beat man coverage, and that's it's going to be really fun to see Heupel and how they attack this game. And Alex Golish, we never talk about Alex Golish. Yeah. I mean, he is the OC. You know, he's also probably like their best recruiter on staff, which is worth mentioning. But it's just Heupel's baby.
I'll tell you this, I would throw the ball to Javonte Payton a few times in this game.
Yeah. I mean, he averages 83 yards a catch, so imagine if he had like three catches in this game.
Yeah. It is amazing. He has 14 catches this year for six touchdowns. He's averaging 26.1 a catch.
Outrageous. Half of his catches are touchdowns almost.
14 catches, 365, six touchdowns. A long of 75, which, by the way, I feel like he's gotten a 75-yard touchdown like three times so far this year.
I mean, I think he legitimately has, right? Or yes. 72, 75, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
26.1 a catch. That'll be good for the old average.
He's like, I don't have any time for your bubble screens. Throw the bubble to Valus.
The first play of the game the other day was basically a bubble screen.
That's true.
He took it to the house.
He took it all the way. Yeah. If I'm getting a bubble, I'm going the distance.
That's right. It's pretty impressive. I did not anticipate Javonte Payton being the best deep threat this year. Thought it was probably going to be Jalin Hyatt, but hey. Stephen Corr is pretty good for Tennessee.
It's been a nice pickup. See, Cedric Tillman is a guy to me in this game with his physicality and I still think that when it comes down to it, when they get into a situation where it's like, okay, who do you trust out there, Hendon Hooker? I still think he has the best connection with Tillman. Like, that's a guy who's going to have to, you know, he's going to have to fight for space out there and make some physical catches in traffic.
Ben on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says 9-3 next year. Line it up. There you go.
Okay. I mean, it could have been. I mean, look at the Pitt game, you look at the Ole Miss game.
Yeah.
That could have easily been the case this year.
Yep.
9-3 next year. I don't remember their schedule. How brutal is it?
It still involves Georgia and Alabama. So there's two right there.
Right. There's two. they have to go to Pittsburgh. Now Pittsburgh does lose. I mean, Pickett will be moving on. So, you know, that's one of those games where you could possibly go into Pittsburgh and
there's also Florida, who they've lost like 18 of the last 19 to, or whatever the case is.
Maybe that's about to change, though.
Maybe.
What do you think?
We'll see.
See, that was Michelle talking trash. She's still mad.
You can put one win on the board for sure. Listen. They'll be Kentucky next year.
We know one win they're going to have.
No.
Let's see, Ball State, Akron. Okay. So Ball State and Akron are the – if you can go into Pittsburgh and win, if you can beat Florida, I think it's possible. At LSU?
Probably not.
I don't know. Depends on who – what is LSU? I don't know what their roster is going to look like.
Yeah, like how many people are they going to lose – With Coach O moving on, I don't think it's crazy. You finish out with Missouri, South Carolina, Vanderbilt. I think it's possible. I'm with you.
We've already talked ourselves into a 9-3 year next year.
12-0 and 23.
When we come back, we'll be joined by Predators coach John Hines as they look ahead to the matchup tonight against St. Louis. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Remember, FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning. And it is time to go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in, after a big win last night, Predators coach John Hines. John, what's going on, man? How we doing?
I'm great. Good to be here with you guys. We got a here in St. Louis, got a back-to-back, so we're getting ready for those guys tonight.
Absolutely. Coming up tonight against the Blues. And, John, obviously, 7 out of 10 points so far on the road trip. The results going very well. What have you thought of the process and the game that your guys as a group have been playing over the last five games?
I think for the most part it's been good. You know, we've played some real tough teams and some different style of teams that I thought we got. You know, we got tested, I think, you know, in a way against Calgary. You know, obviously Edmonton has the high-flying offense and the real strong power play. You know, Vancouver was a good team, a little bit younger team. Chicago, we're getting them off the – I thought they played well. You know, they had the coaching change, and we were at the end of a road trip, so we had to play a tired game. Like, we weren't – that was one that I didn't like the process as much, but I thought it was a really good learning experience. And then last night, I thought we played a real solid game against Dallas. So, you know, the way I see it going is I think our identity is there. It's given us a chance to win. I think as we continue to move forward, particularly this month with a lot of games, I think the structure, the attention to detail that you want to be able to play with when you're playing a heavy game schedule is really important. I give the guys a lot of credit. We've talked about it, but you're really starting to see them going out and executing it. And I think, paying attention to the details that make a big difference in a game, and it's allowed us to have some pretty good success.
A lot of, individual storylines, early in the season here, John, but one obvious one is Matt Duchene and how he's playing and the confidence he seems to be playing with out there. As you watch him, as you coach him on a daily basis, like, do you sense a different confidence? Is improved health a thing with him? Like, how would you – assess what he's doing right now?
Mindset. I think the big thing is mindset. You know, we talked this summer and really talked about he's a talented player, but you have to have certain work habits and competitiveness and consistency to your game to be able to earn the right to play big minutes. You know, if you're going to play big minutes, you have to be a driving force in the game with how you play, how you work, how you compete, how you impact the game in a positive way. And this year, Matt, I mean, he's a willing skater. He's playing faster. He's been much more competitive on the puck and for the puck. And his responsibility, he's playing very responsible without the puck. When he doesn't have it, I think he's now seeing, hey, the better I check, the more I have the puck, the less the defense I have to play. And, you know, he looks good, and I give him a lot of credit. We talked about certain things, and I think he likes the minutes and things he's playing, but that's because he's earning them, and he's playing the right way and doing some good things. And now, because I think he's playing, he's got the confidence, and he scored some goals, now you're starting to see the skill come out. And, you know, when he has opportunities to score, there's no more hesitation. There's less stick handles. He's just playing, and that's good to see, and that's a tribute to him.
Well, and then there's Johansson too, right, who I know you guys asked to do a lot of different things, whether that's on the power play or big face-offs and, you know, all the things that he brings to the table. But offensively, it's going for him right now as well. What have you seen out of Johansson's game thus far?
To be honest with you, the same thing. He has a much better mindset to play the game the way you need to play to be a driving force in the game. You know, even when you look at his goal, like if you look at his goal last night, he comes flying through the neutral zone. You know, he bumps the guy off the puck. You know, then he grabs it, passes it to Janot, keeps skating, drives to the back post. You know, he gets the pass from Tanner, and he puts the puck in the net. Like, those are, I think when you see Joey now, lots of things you notice. He's moving his feet. He's winning faceoffs. He's playing physical. He's, there's not a lot of shifts off every time he's on the ice. There's something happening, or at least competitively, he's impacting the game, and that's a good thing to see. And I think the thing that I'm most happy with the two of them is that they're earning the minutes they're getting. They're helping drive how we want to play and what they want to do. But for them personally as players, you know, they are very talented guys, but they're giving themselves an opportunity to be major impacts on the team. They're giving themselves opportunities to play big minutes, but they're getting rewarded for playing the game the right way on the score sheet, and that's all positive for them and for us.
I mean, I guess we can keep going down the list of all these guys who are playing well right now, but you mentioned Janot. I mean, obviously a lot was made of, you know, him being protected, and he didn't play, you know, he didn't have it wasn't a huge sample size of him last year, but he was a revelation. And now, I mean, you're moving around in the lineup. Like, does he still surprise you at all, you know, with what he's doing, or what do you think his ceiling is?
You know, Joe, I don't think he doesn't really surprise us right now, just because, you know, as you said, he's playing hard, and he's a talented guy, and you can see that. I think the thing that we're probably more impressed with just the consistency level that he's been able to play with, because he plays the game so intense, so hard, he's so competitive. And he does have a scoring touch, but a lot of the substance to his game is his size and how he skates. And he doesn't play an easy game, so to speak, for a player to go through, but he does it consistently. He's very committed to it, and it's nice to see a young guy like that come in and have success. But he doesn't waver off the identity that he has as a player. For him to have success, he knows how he needs to play, and he stays with it, and he's another guy getting rewarded for playing to his identity, which is a good thing. But you know, what his ceiling is, I think he's going to write that script. I mean, he was, you know, a year ago, he wasn't even on the team, you know, and now here he is, you know, playing very consistently and being a major impact for us. So, you know, we'll keep coaching him. He'll keep playing hard, and let's see where it goes. But there's certainly a lot of upside with him.
Predators head coach John Hines on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. John, what's it been like for you guys as a staff having to, I guess, readjust would be the right word, to the normal NHL schedule with travel out to Western Canada and the back-to-backs, like the situation you're in tonight? What's it been like having to readjust to that after the way things went last year?
You know, it's been refreshing. I mean, last year was a different challenge in itself, but, you know, I think to be back, and it's nice to be in the different cities and see the different fan bases, being in the different arenas, getting back to Canada, coming here. Now the schedule is harder. The schedule this year, you know, going back to it feels harder than it was last year, where you were playing similar teams. So obviously you're pre-scouting, like, you know, the teams, basically you're playing five or six times. You're going through and just checking in to make sure there aren't any little tweaks that they've made. But, you know, here your pre-scouting is different, because so you don't see teams as much. But to be very honest with you, just, you know, the different type of travel is a little bit harder, but it's exciting. Like, even you can tell the players and the staff, everyone's energized. You know, we hadn't been to Canada in a year, We haven't been to St. Louis, which is a division rival, in over a year. So it's exciting. I mean, it's a little bit, but you're back to reality a little bit with the schedule and the travel. But I think the change-up's really nice to get back to the 82 games and fans in the stands and playing in different arenas and venues. It's fun.
So, John, I assume, you know, at this point you guys are trying to figure out, you know, backup goalie behind Saros. This is another opportunity for that tonight. In the meantime, he's going to have the most work of his of his career this year, presumably, and he just keeps rolling. What are you seeing, not just in terms of his play, but in terms of, you know, handling that workload and being able to do the heavy lifting this year for you guys?
Yeah, it's a good point. I think that the last, 2 years, I think he hasn't had the 82-game schedule where he's had to play, you know, as many games as he will this year, but he's played a lot. So I think that he has played in back-to-backs. He has played, you know, kind of in the starter where he's played multiple games in a row. So I think that taste of it and going through that is really benefiting him now, and I think will benefit him as the year goes on. I think the big thing with Juice is just trying to help him manage where he's at. You know, if he's going to get a bulk of the games, which it looks like he is, just what are we doing on off days? You know, does he need to practice every day? If he does, like, is it 30 minutes? Is it 20 minutes? Or does he need a day off? I think with him, you have to really deal with him individually to make sure that mentally and physically he's ready to play the games, but he can't just play games. He's got to work. You know, a lot of times the goalies need a little bit of technical work to make sure his game doesn't slip. So, you know, we're on that pretty good right now, but I think that for him mentally and physically, it shouldn't be a problem. He's a young guy, takes care of himself. He's real dialed into, you know, the rest and recovery and what he needs, and he's an extreme competitor. So I think he'll be fine that way. We just got to make sure, I think, we help him manage his time so he can stay fresh and hopefully not have any dips in his game because he's been overused.
Predators coach John Hines has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, wrapping up the road trip tonight against the Blues. John, appreciate so much you taking time to join us this morning, and good luck tonight against the Blues.
All right, thanks. Always great talking with you guys. Have a great day.
Absolutely, you as well. John Hines, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. The Preds on a pretty good road trip right now. 7 out of 10 points. They'll try to make it 9 out of 12 tonight. Look at that math on the fly by Robbie Stanley right there. It's pretty good stuff.
Very good. If you can get your mute stuff figured out, you'll be having a great day.
Yeah, it really will be. Only one so far. You haven't had one all week.
I know. I'm totally screwing myself now. I'm going to have like 7 tomorrow.
When we come back, it is time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road. As I said, the Preds taking on the Blues tonight. Be the first caller, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Your opportunity to guess the goal scorer for the Preds tonight against the Blues. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road. The Nashville Predators in action tonight against the St. Louis Blues. The second half of a back-to-back after a 4-2 win last night against the Dallas Stars. The standings are as such. The listeners back on the board last night, so they're up to 4 on the gear. Joe Rex Road with 4 as well. Michelle Knezovic on the board last night as well.
Nice.
And Robbie Stanley with 1. So the standings are Joe with 4, the listeners with 4, Michelle with 1, Robbie with 1. With that in mind, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Mike from Gallatin, who is today's participant in Preds Pick the Click. Mike, what's going on? How are we doing?
Not too bad, guys. Not too bad. I was able to catch the end of the game, which was nice. So hoping we have another good performance today.
Very nicely done. So, Mike, who is your pick to click tonight for the Predators against the Blues?
Okay, Duchesne is hot. He'd be the popular pick, but I think I'm going to go with our line mate and go with Mikael Granlund.
Oh, I like it. So Granlund, the selection. Mike, we appreciate you taking time to call in.
Thank you, thank you.
Absolutely. So Granlund off the board.
I tried that last night.
He played well.
He did. It didn't work, though. Didn't work.
That is true. It did not work.
Actually, I kind of like that pick today.
Yeah, me too.
Dang.
Michelle, you're up first today. Your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators is whom?
I am going to go with Tanner Jeannot.
Tanner Jeannot.
Wow.
Tanner Jeannot.
I'm moving
selection
away from Ryan Johansson, but he got me on the board. So upward moving from here.
There you go. So Tanner Jeannot off the board. Joe Rexrode, who is your selection?
I'll go with Dutchie.
Yeah. Yes.
I'll go with that. Dutchie. Let's remember that.
That was bad.
The T is very important.
Yes.
Matt Duchene.
We're not doing the long U. Okay.
Matt Duchene, the selection by Joe Rexroad in the competition. All right, give me Johansson. I'll go with 92. Give me Ryan Johansson to find the back of the net tonight. Dude's on fire right now. He is. He's playing well.
If you give up Johansson after he gets you on the board and then Robbie scores with him,
yeah.
No.
It'll be your own.
I have faith.
It'll be your own fault. Like just like your own fault for rooting for Kentucky football.
I knew I had the first off, very nice.
Fellas.
Tonight.
Thank you.
I knew
you
I had the last
so
pick
much
today.
Hate.
No, it's not hate.
Just point out facts.
It's trolling. Trolling is all out of love.
Okay, Robbie, what were you saying? You had the last pick?
Well, I knew I had the last pick today, so I was going to take Jeannot. Like, I didn't think Jeannot would get snatched out. He's got 5 goals. Pretty good.
And yet no one wants to take Roman Josi.
I know. He does lead the team in points.
Yeah.
Josi just has a hat trick tonight, and we're all just like, okay.
Yeah.
Kentucky's amazing. Period. Mic drop.
Okay.
We have a week's worth of evidence that would suggest otherwise in every sport, but that's okay.
How's Kentucky soccer doing?
Phenomenal.
Sure, fine. Very well.
Good. Our rifle team is very good.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
Good to know.
Let's call Kyle Tucker. Talk about it. You brought it up to begin the show, but the confidence that Matt Duchene playing with right now makes a big difference. John Hines talked about it. I mean, being a willing skater was the term that he used, and being more engaged in the battle. And, you know, you can tell with Duchene and Johansson, you know, we talked about heading into the season. You can respond one of two ways to being unprotected in the expansion draft and the conversation around it. You can sit there and mope and cry about it and just kind of go through the motions and it's never going to get any better. Or you can respond, have a little pride about yourself, and get back to being the player that you've been for a long time in the NHL. And so far, you know, we're 13 games in, so, again, there's still a long way to go, but Duchene and Johansson look completely different so far this year.
Yeah, and I'm not saying I predicted this, okay? I mean, this has been very good, and I don't think we should expect this to be sustained the entire season, but I never bought the idea that these things happen and they were going to curl up in a ball or they were just going to be, you know, like problems in the locker room or something.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you got to work it out. You got to get along with management. You got to get along with your boss, whatever your job is. So even though it's been clear that Matt Duchene and John Hines have not been on the same page, I'd say the same thing about Johansson. And that's been clear in action more than words. Listen to what John Hines said last segment. He said mindset. And also talked about their conversations. You got to have those. You got to find common ground. So if they've moved past all that, and it's just interesting too when you think about a veteran like Duchene who has done as much as he's done in this league and scored as many points, and it still sounds it almost sounds like a young player. Like, see, if you get on the forecheck and you work hard there, now you don't have to play defense. It's like, don't you know that already? But hey. There's different systems, different styles, and also you have to change your game too as you get older in whatever league you're in.
Well, and there's different situations too in terms of the team you play for, right? I mean, he played for a lot of really bad Avalanche teams where he had to be so creative and they weren't as much worried about the defensive side of things. He needed to go score some goals.
Right.
You know, he played for a bad Ottawa team that was pretty much the same thing. You know, he had, you know, a month and a half, 2 month stretch in Columbus where that's a pretty good team. But other than that, there's not been a whole lot of really good teams that he's played for. So it's a different kind of setup here. And, you know, he is getting older. And look, I think this could not have gone better for John Hines so far of, see, I told you, you play this way, you're going to get your chances not only with the ice time, but you're going to score and you're going to produce as well. So I think if John Hines could have wrote a script for those two, probably couldn't have written it much better than it started for those two so far this year.
Well, and so far, very early, you have to say it with anything when you're trying to, you know, assess a team at this point. But I think it's been a pretty good glimpse at, like, his coaching overall working, too. Because I'd say that they've set some standards last year when they turned things around that they've been able to carry over. And, you know, after that early start where we were like, ooh, where is the offense? They're finding some now, even without Forsberg. So, I mean, a lot of things are working out and I think do reflect well on what he has done.
I would be curious to know the John Hines, I guess, mafia that was after him last year. Has your tune changed based on the second half of last year, the playoff series against Carolina, and now so far what we've seen this year? If you were once not a believer in John Hines, has that changed? Like, I think if you evaluate the last, I'd say, I don't know, 50 games or so for this Predators team, it's kind of hard to ignore what you've seen out there. It's been largely pretty good. Consistently, largely pretty good.
I expect someone to send a tweet or a text with some blobs on it to show why actually he has no idea what a hockey puck is. I know someone has that
information.
Give
me some charts and graphs.
The blob.
Willie?
The blob graphs are amazing.
Willie and Adam are the two most analytic guys I know, so that's why I say Willie.
Yeah. Love the blobs. Huge blobs fans.
Let's go back to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Our buddy Keith texting in. Michelle Apari Kentuckovic.
Yes, I love that, Keith. Michelle Apari
Kentuckovic.
That's incredible.
On the text line.
That is absolutely incredible.
Michelle Apari is pretty awesome.
Michelle Apari.
I don't know if I can get that out of my head now.
Wait, that's actually so great.
Michelle Apari.
It rolls off the tongue very nicely. Michelle Apari.
I got a text that asks, are the Predators proving by winning that Forsberg could be traded? I don't know if them winning right now proves that they're going to trade him or anything. I mean, I think it's still likely that he gets traded. I'm not saying that that's an unrealistic possibility, but I don't think just because they're playing well right now without him, that just means, yep, getting rid of him.
Right. And, okay, well, what if he comes back and is healthy and plays well and just adds to what they're doing and they're in the thick of things?
Yeah, look, let's go on and cut this conversation off at the head. They're not a better team without Philip Forsberg.
Yeah.
It's just they're not.
Well, I say you take him off the ice, you take Taylor Lewan off left tackle, you're better. It's pretty obvious. But, hey, you believe whatever you want to believe.
Ryan in Nashville texting in, nope, Hines has done this before, had a good start to the season, and blew it in the second half of the season. I don't know if he's done that with the Predators before. But
so this was the year after? This is the year after they made the playoffs? Is that what we're talking about here?
I guess.
Yeah. Well, look, his track record in the NHL is pretty limited when he got here. So totally fair to question that. And honestly, I've done this before. I'll give Jared props again. His questions at the presser for, like, why was he your hire based on his track record in Jersey was totally fair.
Yeah.
That was one of those instances of, like, some, like, Preds fans, you know, like, what do you don't think that's a fine question? It was fine. But I'd also be – because it's a small sample size, I'd be careful about making too much of it. Mike Vrabel came here. There were some things written about how could a guy who is that bad as a D coordinator in his 1 year get an NFL head coaching job? Well, seems to be working out all right.
Seems to be working out all right. Speaking of Mike Vrabel, we'll get back into the Titans coming up next. Get a little bit deeper into the Ryan Tannehill discussion we had yesterday about whether or not Titans fans are worried about him regressing. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game.